Marjorie had some brutal experiences. I mean, she got a beautiful set of photographs which showed something called anomalous scattering extremely well. Now, in principle and in theory, that information should have led to the identification of the mercury iodide which was sitting in the crystal, and they could never interpret the patterns. And I think that hit her like a torpedo, because it was beautiful photography, beautiful soaking, beautifully done experiment work, and it did not give an answer. And that's when I came in. This was a so-called four zinc crystal. It's a bit different to the one I worked on. And Margie was abandoning it. And she was right to abandon it. And she was really down, actually. And you know, we've never sorted out what happened in those crystals. I mean, we've looked at them with hindsight, and as far as we can make out, the mercury iodides are stuck so heavily over this protein in quite an ordered way. They're not all ordered, that you just can't disentangle them. I don't think that was ever soluble.
Yeah.
And it looked so good. The diffraction pattern was brilliant, went beyond the film. And you could see anomalous going to the edge of the film. Beautiful. Never solved. I spent a lot of time on that after Marjorie went. We bust our gut on that. Nothing. This stuff is not documented. This is one of the things that worries me. This insulin history from about the late 50s is not documented. It's not written up anywhere. Dorothy has touched on it only very lightly. So actually it's got to be gotten down. So that was a complete dead end and wasted years of people's lives. Very deceptive. When I arrived, Dorothy and Marjorie had decided to look at another crystal form called 2-zinc, which was a bit simpler organisationally. And I was put on to looking at some crystals soaked in something called mercurochrome, which is what you paint your scratches. And it's a big aromatic system with several mercuries on it, and it's not homogeneous. And we knew that, but we thought, well, maybe the crystal will be selective and bits of binds. We used to get these beautifully bright red crystals when you soaked the mercurochrome in. A man called David Weitzman was involved in this, preparing the mercurochrome and purifying it. And the crystals were damaged hideously. I mean, the stuff got in all right and just... the data often went out, only very limited spacing. But we tried very hard to look for the mercuries by careful handling of the data, which was very different between the derivative and the native series. A lot of formal problems. And we never saw a goddamn thing that we believed. It was difficult. Huge intensity change. We probably located roughly some mercury sites, but it was awfully difficult. And I spent a couple of years on that. I learned an awful lot. My goodness, I learned a lot. But it was failure the whole damn way. It all came right following a remark by two visiting crystallographers and biochemists from Uppsala called Tillander and... God, stop your tape machine.
Yep.
Tillander and Strandberg visited the lab, and they told Dorothy that the protein they're working with, which was an enzyme called carbonic anhydrase, was one they could remove the zinc by adding EDTA. It just sweetly took the zinc out. Well, the zinc exchanged, got snapped up by the EDTA. And we thought, bloody good idea, because it was zinc in the insulin. Now we put the zinc EDTA on the 4-zinc crystals, they disintegrated. Put on the 2-zinc crystals, they disintegrated, not quite as much. And a student called Margaret Adams picked this up and started working on it. She was trying different concentrations of EDTA, and the crystal would go white and just stop diffracting. But on one occasion, the crystal fragmented, and I can't remember if it was I or Margaret who mounted the crystal, or the fragment, and it diffracted. And I knew it had been an EDTA. So the guess was that somehow this piece of crystal had survived the experience and diffracted. We looked at the diffraction pattern, we could see differences. We knew that the zinc had come out.
So that's what you were always looking for, was that
the zinc is
the one that's got the zinc in, this is the one that hasn't got the zinc in, therefore the difference is where the zinc is.
That's right. Yeah. So we actually got more importantly at a binding site. We take zinc out, which has got 28 electrons, and put lead in, you've got 80 electrons. That's potentially the sort of change you need to get the phases. So when we discovered that EDTA could be made to remove the zinc without completely ruining the crystal, we had then two targets. One was to get the zinc-free insulin crystals, and the second was to have lead insulin.